producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Yabba dabba doo or something like that. I lost track. What do you do about dogs barking under these circumstances?
I don't know. Take them to Thailand. They love them there.
Well, we're not talking about having dogs for breakfast.
I don't know. Turn them into Nathans or Hebrew Nationals.
Well, you know, my wife is an animal activist, and she's after all these people who are consuming dog meat in South Korea.
Oh, okay. South Korea. Well, they do in Thailand, Cambodia, all over. Speaking of the Far East, our question still stands. Unfortunately, I haven't read the book. I've been really under the gun, and I do plan on absorbing it and making it part of my research library, because this is a fascinating topic. I think you were very smart to dive into this. It really hasn't been dealt with before. There have been sexual encounter compilations, which is a whole other side of the equation. Of course, the Villa-Boas case is one of my favorites. She barked like a dog, like an animal.
Sounds like Howard Stern.
Yes. Well, yeah, and you know, I think you could argue that the Villa-Boas case is another recontextualization of this same motif, because a substance was administered to him. And if you look at the way that, you know, I mentioned earlier about this.
Wait a minute, he was asked to eat her?
No. I could say so many things right now, and I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
It sounds like the satire that Weird Al did for the song Beat It by Michael Jackson. Eat it. Open up your mouth and feed it.
What I was going to say is that he was covered with an ointment before being forced to have sex with this alien woman. And you know, if you look at the what I'd said earlier about some of these anecdotes about absorbing things through the skin, then you have to say, well, is ointment another part of this food trope? And you know, if you include that, then the number of cases that you've got to include skyrockets. So.
Yeah.
I would not eat eggs in trope, by the way. I don't think it tastes very good.
That's tripe.
I know. I tried tripe a couple of times in my life. Better not say anything more.
Oh, well, try menudo.
That's true. Menudo's good. Eastern, right?
Eastern cases. Right. Indonesia, Japan, China, parts of Southeast Asia.
It's interesting, again, with the idea of foods matching to their cultures, you do run into some Japanese cases where children are actually given rice. There was one story from 1907 where a child was supposed to be setting out rice cakes for an upcoming religious festival, and he disappeared for several hours, and they found the kid, and his face was covered in rice cakes, and he said that a stranger had taken him walking over the treetops, and they'd gone in all the people's homes and eaten rice cakes. And afterwards, the child had become a real dullard, as it were. Which, you know, again, could be perceived as a variation on the idea of eating in fairyland and returning home irreparably changed.
Right. So,
in terms of other cases from that part of the world, you just don't find them that much. I've looked into it, and I haven't found anything. If anyone has found something, I would love to find out about it, because I think this topic definitely needs a follow-up in the future.
Well, that's interesting, because I automatically, you know, a light went off in my head, and you have the same parallel between this particular topic of food and other administered or offered consumables or ointments or that sort of thing, being predominantly a Western world Christian country phenomenon in terms of going back into history as well as modern accounts. And you see the same thing in the unexplained livestock death phenomenon.
I had thought about that when I was actually writing that part of the book. I was thinking about the fact that you had made note of that numerous times. And interesting to me is, if this is purely a psychological phenomenon, you would think that the sorts of foods that people would be given in the West would reflect the most popular foods in the West, which I think we can all agree are meat and candy, right? But you don't see that. I could literally count on probably two hands the number of cases that I found, not even in terms of how well vetted they are, just finding things that involve meat or that involve candy. You find a couple of contactee cases where steaks are served. I found one not very well sourced tale about an Irishman consuming a hamburger on a spacecraft. And then in terms of candy, you just don't find it. You think that that would be a good tool in the alien arsenal. Hey, kid, you want some candy?
Yeah.
Now, having said this,
kids are taught not to accept candy from strangers, especially aliens, right?
It's true. Returning also to the Asian thing, I mean, in terms of modern era accounts, or actually, like, you know, first person accounts, I didn't find anything. There are myths. There are some people in, for example, I don't really think you count New Zealand as the Far East, but the Maori of New Zealand say that you can go visit your dead lover as long as you don't eat anything. And in Mesopotamian mythology, Mihiro Adap refused food from the god Anu, although it promised him immortality, he could never return. Again, there's some other mythology in Japan where a goddess died in childbirth and ate food in the afterlife, and so she couldn't return either. So it, in terms of mythology, it definitely is a worldwide phenomenon.
Well, how about you, Gene? What do you think? Are you a worldwide phenomenon?
Actually, I'm a worldwide nightmare.
Why?
Let me ask you something here. We're talking a lot about historical stuff. What about events that occurred more recently?
Yeah, you don't find a lot of stuff since the turn of our new century. I mean, you find some stuff, like there was an article in Pravda about a woman being made to live with a yeti and eat raw meat. There was one interesting account out of Spain from the year 2000 where a liberal arts professor was hunting with his students, and he actually ended up falling asleep beneath a tree, shades of Rip Van Winkle, and he awoke to find himself being dragged into the spacecraft by this tentacle. And once he was awakened there, he found some entities that told him that their craft had affected him in some way, and they had to take him and sort of help him back to health, shades of Travis Walton. But while he was there, they actually gave him a red liquid and a hot broth and some sort of marmalade that he described. And he said that the meal would sustain him for the entire day, which, again, implies that it wasn't, to me at least, implies that perhaps wasn't real food. This was in a Spanish newspaper that I found. Besides that, a lot of the things that you find are mostly from the 70s and 80s. I did find another case where some children in the Philippines supposedly gave a dwarf a biscuit in 2004, but that's the other direction of exchange.
We have a question from one of our premier posters and also a good friend of the show, Burnt State, who asks, in your book, you highlight the notion that alien food and drink are often prepared for us as if this is a mythic offering of ambrosia from the gods, something that will change us or return us back home. But what are your thoughts on cases that break such patterns, such as Emelson 1978 Polish abduction case, where the little green men in divers' outfits offered Jan Wolski some icicle-shaped crumbly food that they were eating, but that he rejects? Is this kind of runs counter to, you know, your normal cases where the offering is accepted? I mean, how many cases do we have, especially 20th century cases or 21st century cases, where the offering is rejected by the victim of the particular event?
It's rare. And, you know, it's interesting because I find it really funny. I wouldn't accept food from somebody who came to my door right now. Nonetheless, you know, an alien aboard a craft. But a lot of people tend to act under, not even under duress, but just of their own free will. But it's like they're actually being controlled somehow externally. I mean, I think of the Higdon case. Was it Charlie Higdon, I believe? Carl Higdon, that's right. He was a bow hunter, and he shot at an elk, and the bullet stopped, and this yellow man appeared in front of him and floated some pills to him. And he said later that he never even takes aspirin, you know. He doesn't take anything unless a doctor prescribes him, but he took those pills, which is sort of odd. I think in the Wolski case, it's important to look at I think you can sort of derive entity intent from how forcefully they suggest food. So if you have, you know, gray aliens who are administering a ball gag to give you liquid, which has happened in some cases apparently, that's a completely different scenario than in the Wolski case where, you know, this food was offered and was rejected, and it was no big deal, you know, no problem, bro. So yeah, it's people are acting. People don't seem to be acting of their own volition, which again, I think says something about the sort of state of mind that they're in during these experiences.
Yeah, because everything does seem different
With Gene and Chris and Joshua, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't pick on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zero. Out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Just recently, we've witnessed some of the most catastrophic disasters in history. Be sure to prepare yourself with great-tasting, high-quality, GMO-free food that has a 25-year shelf life. Of course, we're talking about the foods from SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. And don't forget, the human body needs up to 3 quarts of water every day to remain healthy and hydrated. So check out our water bricks at SurvivalFoodAlliance.com. Go to SurvivalFoodAlliance.com or call 877-223-1776.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? That's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Joshua Cushion, and we're talking about alien foodstuffs or foodstuffs from the gods or some sort of thing like that. The book is called The Trojan Feast, The Food and Drink Offerings of Aliens, Fairies, and Sasquatch, but not Gene and Chris. Chris, you had a comment?
Well, I was just going to comment that when you're in the proximity of unusual beings, creatures, your total environment seems to change almost in a, you know, hallucinogenic way. You know, everything seems brighter, or you see colors that you're not used to. There seems to be a crackle in the air. I mean, there's common, you know, case after case after case, you have people that seem to be suspended into some other form of reality that has enough familiarity with, you know, the person, but there's something energetically different. You know, just things seem to be more vibrant. You know, you get this kind of underlying current of descriptions through many, many cases. And that could, I think, psychologically possibly help induce behavior that normally wouldn't be exhibited by someone. I think if you're taken out of your, you know, everyday reality, then all bets are off on how you're going to respond to certain stimuli or certain situations. And that might possibly be one of the explanations for people accepting things that they normally wouldn't accept, because the whole vibe of the experience is so different. And there's a veneer of kind of breathless high strangeness that if it's not fear-inducing, and it's neutral, or in maybe it even induces some sort of ecstatic response from the person, then possibly they may accept food, they may accept drinks, they may, if they're not in a place of total terror or fear, then I could see that psychologically there could be some rationale for people accepting these things, just almost as an automatic response to the offering. You know, one question here, I'm not sure if we really covered fully how you got interested in Freudiana to begin with. I mean, give us a little sense of how you got interested in these subjects to begin with. I mean, obviously you're a very bright guy. You know, you play this in a very objective sort of let the data kind of tell the story sort of way, which we really like. The guests that are very objective and very neutral tend to be the guests that Gene and I really like. It's the people that are totally, you know, immersed in their subjectiveness that tend to make us squirm a little bit. But how did you get interested in all this? I mean, how old were you? What are your inspirations from your past that really got you involved in this whole realm in the first place?
Well, you know, first of all, I really admire those kind words, Chris, because I've been petrified about this this interview all week. I've been looking forward to it, and this was, you know, when I first started writing this book, I said I kind of want to write this book just to have a chance to talk to these people, and the two of you are some people that I wanted a chance to talk to, and I've been really nervous about this, so that means a lot. But I didn't have really an experience before I got interested in this. I was a monster kid. If it was a monster or a dinosaur or something, I was all over it. I was interested in it. And my parents never shied away from any of these strange subjects. In fact, it wasn't until really, I guess, I started writing the book that I realized there was such a stigma around some of these subjects. Because, you know, this idea of inquiry and this idea of openness was always encouraged in my family. So, you know, I'd touched upon it here and there. I'd always tried to, you know, I was big into Sasquatch. Sasquatch was my gateway drug into all this. I didn't really come, sorry, what was that?
No, that was good. I like that. Your gateway drug. You okay? Cool.
Well, yeah, well, mine
too, actually.
Well, it's a very simple thing to wrap your mind around, you know, at first, at least it is. It was, you know, it was something that, okay, well, sure, big hairy monster in the woods. That's totally possible. I didn't really come back to the subject. Like I said, I'd had a passing interest in it here and there. I didn't really come back to the subject in depth until I had some free time around the holidays. I worked at the University of Georgia at that time, and I was trying to find something to fill up my ears. And I discovered paranormal podcasts of all variety and sorts, starting with Mysterious Universe, which, again, is a good gateway drug for people because they those guys are real funny and put together a really, really tight show. And I started listening to that, and I got more and more immersed in the subject. And it really, really was that moment reading J. Robert Alley's Raincoat Sasquatch that I really had that light bulb moment. I said, nobody's written this book. Nobody's going to write this book, so let's write this book. And then, you know, once you do that, the die is cast. I mean, I am sure that I've applied for jobs in the past since I've written this book, and I haven't gotten to the second interview because they've Googled my name and found this crazy book that I've written. But, you know, this is what I'm doing now, so I'm doubling down on this. I still am a professional musician. That's where the lion's share of my income comes from. And I'm halfway through book number two. So it's and I will say that of the people that I've met, I haven't really met anybody who's a jerk yet in this field. I know I will, but so far they've been people who have been really of a kindred spirit, and I haven't had anybody who's beaten up on me too much for not coming to conclusions. You know, I like to stay in this ambiguous area, and everybody's really entertained me in that so far.
Yeah. Stay around long enough, and boy, you...
I know.
They'll beat you up. Boy, I had to write the Trickster book because so many people were dogging me about, you know, how much I was putting on the table and saying, check this out, and then not coming up with any opinions or real solid in-depth conclusions, and that's where the Trickster book came from. I've since then been dogged about that. So
yeah,
it doesn't matter what you do in this field. At some point, somebody is going to latch onto it and take you to task, not necessarily for your interest in the subject, but if you do it properly, people are just like my roommate from college. He read my first book, and I won't use graphic words, but he said, man, it was like making love all night and not coming. It's like, I guess that's a compliment.
Thanks.
I tell you, this show has been going over the line more and more, and now we've jumped the shark.
No, there were no George Carlin 7 dirty words there. I could have used one.
So you actually did on last week's episode of After the Paracast.
Well, that was After the Paracast. That's where we let our hair down and let it fly.
Yes, in fact, we let in lots of flies. We had to swat them.
Yeah, I didn't know, Chris. I didn't know, Chris, that your first book was called The Tantric Trickster. That's what would have been a good name for it.
Well, you and I should co-write a book called Hot and Bothered, Sexual Encounters in the Paranormal, yeah. Which is a kind of a book I've been sort of mulling over because I've got quite a bit of research I've done that just makes me scratch my head and go, there might be a book.
I'm all about it, and you know... In all seriousness, you know, a lot of the things that I've looked into have dovetailed and have some implications with food. I mean, you look at the two things, you know, food is essential to an individual's survival and reproduction is essential to a species' survival. You look at, you know, themes with the Garden of Eden, you know, about food being used as a metaphor for, you know, carnal knowledge. I do have a chapter about that, so, yeah.
Let's do the break. We have more of whatever we're doing with Joshua Cutchin and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey systems. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
As the cold and flu season approaches, Silver Lungs is ready to help you and your family through the toughest of the year by supporting your immune system and overall health. From our best-selling colloidal silver generating system to our entire line of silver-based skin gels, nasal sprays, soaps, and silver solutions, Silver Solutions remain one of nature's most powerful and least expensive antibacterial agents. Now you can produce your own for pennies a day in the comfort of your home using the breakthrough technology of the Silver Lungs Generator. Learn more today at www.silverlungs.com.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I have an important message. Right now, the highest levels of government are struggling against an inevitable crisis, but they're about to lose control. When this happens, it will rip our country apart in ways you never imagined, from where we shop to the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. A few years ago, I warned that the housing prices would collapse. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash, and they did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves, but this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all. I've posted a free video at disappearingdollar.com. Maybe you'll disagree with my conclusions, but first you need to watch this video and see the facts for yourself. You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingdollar.com. Again, that's disappearingdollar.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so UFOs and sex, having weird associations. Of course, we have that situation with some of these abductions where allegedly people have some kind of relationship with ET, or they take sperm samples. They want to be clinical about it. We have Joshua Cutchin with Gene and Chris on the Paracast this week exploring alien, fairy, Sasquatch foodstuffs and what to look out for. Now, how often are we seeing cases of this kind through the years? Is this something that just happens on a rare occasion, or if we go through the years from hundreds of years ago to now, it's loads of people reporting similar stuff?
Well, you know, it just depends on how broadly you want to cast your net. You know, if you look in terms of antiquity, I mean, it was a very common thing. You can find a lot of stories about you shouldn't drink this, or, you know, you walking along the fairy lane at night and you didn't thank the fairy for their food that they gave you, or you're sort of damned if you do and damned if you didn't, because if you took their food, you were trapped, and if you didn't take their food, they'd be offended. So you find lots of stories like that. And then, you know, in the contactee era, there were a lot of Elizabeth Clarer was given some food. But the golden age of contactees had this. It comes in certain waves. You know, you'll see a wave of people being given injections. You'll see a wave of people being given, again, do you want to cast your net wide enough to include ointments? Well, if that's the case, then it's happens all the time. So it's just this idea of substances being administered, and it's definitely, like I said, a minor motif of the phenomena. I will say that, you know, I didn't find a lot of cases from between legend and medieval era, there aren't a lot. And then there's a cluster in the medieval era. And then from the Enlightenment to, you know, Kenneth Arnold's sighting, there's not a lot of stuff that you run into either.
Well, except for the fairy folk accounts all through the,
right.
the latter Middle Ages up until, you know, the late 1800s. Evans Weiss has quite a number of accounts in there. How about the Great Airship Wave? I seem to recall a couple of accounts, not many, but a couple of accounts where food or some sort of drink was involved. The pilots of the airships would ask for water. I think I remember one or two cases like that. Do we have any others that actually have consumable food involved in the actual primary description of the event?
Yes, none that I found that were explicitly offering food to people on the ground from the airship. But very similar to the Symington case, a lot of airship pilots or airship passengers would request foodstuffs of people on the ground. They'd land or whatnot. There was a Indiana farmer who saw an airship landed, and a guy jumped out and said, "Hey, I need a pail of milk." There was a famous story, which I think might be a little bit dubious, but there was a William McGivern of Pine Lake, Michigan, said that one night he was awoken because the people in the airship yelled down to him that they wanted 4 dozen egg sandwiches and a kettle of coffee.
Wow, that's cheeky.
Yeah.
Smaller egg sandwiches. It just makes you wonder whether these were real people aboard a real ship doing really real things.
Or if the point wasn't to make him go, huh? I mean, maybe that was the point.
Yeah, but how would an alien know about egg sandwiches? That goes up to sort of the Walter Bosley and the Sonoran Arrow Club, you know, that these were real humans aboard fantastic new technology. That whole airship wave that is really the connective tissue between the ancient and the modern. I think that whole wave of sightings just encompasses the totality of the high strangeness of this whole subject area, because it's you can't say it's modern, you can't say it's ancient, it's kind of in between. It's almost like a series of symbolic events and encounters that sort of bridge the old with the new, and we're still seeing vestiges of descriptions that, you know, are surviving into the modern era. So what other aspects of Fortiana are you attracted to, and what other types of research projects have you considered moving forward here? Because you seem to have jumped into the pool with both feet, so...
Yeah. There's no washing this off of me right now. No, I'm interested in a lot of things. I'm interested in ghost phenomena. I'm interested in, you know, the real deep Fortean stuff, falls from the sky and stuff like that. The problem is with what I want to research and what I want to look into is to find something that to find an angle that people haven't really addressed before. I admire, and I think that we do need more people out there investigating this phase of my life right now. That's just not something that I can do. So instead, the way that I compensate for that is I say, well, let me look at stuff that's out there already in a different light. So, what I'm in the middle of right now is I'm doing this similar project, cataloging, smells of ghosts, demons, Sasquatch, men in black, UFOs, aliens, all these things. And trying to, I mean, obviously it's impossible to do a survey of that, because if there were maybe 1,500 possible cases out there about people receiving food from entities, there are probably 15,000 cases, right, of people smelling something. But
in a lot of it featuring sulfur and brimstone.
Exactly. And that's sort of what the book is out to, not really out to prove, but that's sort of what I try to hope to outline and sketch in the book, is how many of these things really do connect with sulfur, and what does that mean from an alchemical standpoint? What does that mean from a scientific standpoint? I don't think people realize how hardwired we are to notice sulfurous compounds, but it's like you could not really tailor a smell to be more noticed than sulfur, or specifically hydrogen sulfide, mostly because sulfur actually is odorless unless it's burnt. It's almost like that particular odor is chosen to get noticed. So I can see why nobody's done this project before, though, because it's freaking huge. It's become...
Yeah, that's a big undertaking, because there's a lot of data out there that mentions smells. Because obviously the olfactory sense is one of the first things that people are able to access and remember, because smells, I mean, we can remember smells that we had as infants.
Right.
One of my earliest memories as a human being is the smell of pickles, the smell of pickling operation that my grandmother was involved in pickling. And that's one of my earliest memories. In fact, it may be my earliest conscious memory.
Well, and again, it's also tied into memory in the same way that taste does. I mean, we talk about Marcel Proust and the narrative of the Madeleine cookie bringing back memories. So it's a logical next step. But yeah, there's this psychological angle to look at, you know, how reliable are smells under hypnotic regression? How should we interpret it when people change their interpretation of what things smell like? Are people describing what they're smelling? Or are they equating it with something else? Something that I wasn't really aware of is how often people conflate ozone and sulfur.
You know, raising sulfur, guys, I remember the books from John Keel, where he's talking about the odor of burnt sulfur, sometimes at the beginning of some kind of paranormal encounter. What's your thought?
Keel talked about this at length, at great length. You know, the one issue that I will take with Keel is that he said that, these craft couldn't emit sulfur in the amounts that are needed to smell this strongly. Well, actually, again, we're so fine tuned to sulfur, you don't need a lot of it. Keel talked about this a ton. Especially in regards to large hairy bipeds, he felt that might suggest some sort of dimensional shift or release of energy that can somehow catalyze sulfur in the environment. I'm not sure about that, but there are some other issues to look at. So this project is really taking a look at each individual smell from each individual phenomenon and saying, well, what could this mean? You know, well, hydrogen sulfide appears in some abduction reports. What does that mean? Well, if you're exposed to too much hydrogen sulfide, you can have memory issues and you can have reproduction issues. So it's really trying to take apart each of what one of these issues is. Whereas a Trojan feast was really sort of narrowing down the tunnel into this focused look at entheogens.
Let me break it.
We're
going to break it down more with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
With a new year coming, it's time for a new way to look at weapon storage. Safes can't be accessed quickly, and racks are unsafe for children. Covert cabinets are the next level in home defense. They fit seamlessly into any home's decor, and they provide quick access to firearms while keeping them uniquely hidden. Covert cabinets, the ideal hidden storage solution. Custom made in the USA, covert cabinets are an elegant and practical alternative to the bulky and obvious storage systems of the past. Find out more at covertcabinets.com. That's covertcabinets.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
This has been such a quick show. You know, it seems like just 5 minutes ago, we started talking to Joshua Cutchin about a Trojan feast, and now I'm getting hungry. I'm almost ready to have lunch. But I'm not going to eat anything that smells of burnt sulfur. I think it'll just be a TV dinner.
Ooh.
that might still smell of burnt sulfur. I don't know.
It's going to smell like burnt sulfur in a few hours.
It'll smell like something. I wish not to say what.
But, so whereas this other project was really sort of narrowing down to this entheogenic route, this other book is going to be more like a case-by-case, issue-by-issue look at things. So, and then there's an interesting light bulb that I had for a final chapter and epilogue today. So we'll see how it turns out. I've been really humbled by some of the feedback that I've gotten about A Trojan Feast, and I still have to pinch myself to think the people that I've admired have thought a lot of this work. So.
You know, we love creative thinking and looking at angles that have been kind of just passed over. This is a, like you said, it's a minor thread, but it is a thread that weaves its way from the ancient accounts, from myths and legends, all the way to the present. So, I really commend you. And also, we really commend Chris Abeck for his work and just coming up with the historical cases to begin with, and then narrowing them down into olfactory and tastes and things like that. I think we can learn a lot there. And there's some people might think, well, it's all subjective and there's minutiae involved and blah, blah, blah. But when people say they're being offered food or drink or being lathered with ointment, I think those are really important, possibly key elements that are just not really haven't been addressed in the way that you're doing. And kudos to your work and for your creative thinking. You know, and I was going to mention that if anybody wants to know what sulfur smells like, just come to my house after I haven't run my water for a week and I've been gone during the summer, and then turn the,
oh Lord,
turn the tap on. Oh my goodness. It's like, oh my God, where's, I know Beelzebub's here somewhere. Where is he? I got a well that, besides the arsenic, of course, which I absorb every time I take a shower, the hydrogen sulfide does get a little overpowering if I'm gone for a few week or two.
Well, maybe ET is hanging out at your home when you're not there.
Well, I guess if the devil's house sitting for me, I'm not sure if that's necessarily a good thing. But
is that like the devil's in the details?
When it comes to H2 and, you know, sulfuric compounds and the, you know, the lingering olfactory impact that it has on your nasal passages, yeah, maybe. Because, boy, I'll tell you, it's when I moved in here, the house had sat empty for a year, and it took about a month to get rid of the sulfur smell from the well water. It just – and during the summer, of course, the – well, I won't get into it. It's tough living in the desert.
You take what you can get when as far as water goes, right?
Well, I cringe at just showering in this water because you absorb all these elements through your skin, and I do quick showers and during the summer I try to, you know, get showers elsewhere as often as I can because I'm real concerned not only the H2 and the hydrogen sulfides, but also arsenic occurs naturally in the water here. So it's not a good combination. So, oh well, you know, there's a price to living in the drier side of paradise, I guess. moving right along. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to digress.
But. No worries.
So cool. So the next one's on smells. I can't wait. Do we have any cases of flatulent aliens, for instance, speaking of sulfur? I can't recall any cases where somebody said it smelled like fart.
Well, they usually don't smell like fart. Here's part of the confusion is that people will say something smells like sulfur, and again, they don't really mean it smells like sulfur because sulfur is actually odorless unless lit. But you do have people who say, you know, that UFOs smell like sulfur at a close distance. You'll have people say that aliens smell like rotten eggs. I believe some people regressed by Yvonne Smith said that. I don't have my manuscript in front of me right now, but. The more you look at it, the more the two major categories that you find in UFO cases are rotten
ammonia.
Eggs.
Ammonia is another one.
Yeah, ammonia comes up with some degree of regularity, but in UFO cases, from what I can tell, it's mostly sulfur and ozone. And there's a historical conflation between these two. I mean, the Greeks used to say that that lightning would strike and release a smell of sulfur in the air. Well, now we know that's not the case, but yeah, this particular conflation lasted all the way up until, you know, all the way up until relatively recently, until I believe the 19th century. I mean, you'll find Benjamin Franklin writing about the smell of sulfur after a lightning strike as well. So the question is, what are people smelling? Are people conflating the two? So it's interesting. You have to talk about that some. A lot of the cases that I said, I found have sulfur involved. Sulfur, ozone, ammonia is common, but another common motif to all these things, including ghosts, is the smell of burning things. This idea of combustion is very important. You know, some Sasquatch smell like burning hair. You know, some ghosts smell like someone smoking. So there's something there with that combustion motif too. And I think I might have not nailed it, but I think I might have gotten a little bit of an idea of where that might be leading.
Oh, nice. Yeah, cigar smoke, too. Tobacco is often reported in, or not often, but in terms of reported smells during some sort of ghost, so-called ghost encounter, occasionally you'll have that that description. It smelled like someone smoking a cigar. For instance, in the we went and looked into the Studebaker Mansion in South Bend, Indiana, and one of the most common reported aberrations, if you will, or something abnormal, is the smell of cigar smoke when there is no cigars being lit or smoked anywhere in the mansion. And most often, this was reported in the main office where Studebaker used to hang out and smoke cigars. This would be really interesting. I'm really intrigued at how this book is going to come out, and any sort of research that I happen upon in my work, I'll go ahead and forward to you because I do have a number of very interesting descriptions of even unusual smells that can't be just. I think that's also.
You cut out for about 15 seconds there.
I did?
Yeah.
You said the last thing you said was that you, thank you, by the way, that you had some things you would send me, which would be awesome. Yeah. That's the last thing that we got.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and forward on any of these reports that I happen upon and shoot them off in your direction. My pleasure.
That'll be really great. I really appreciate that, Chris.
Yep.
We are just about out of time. Joshua Cutchin, can you tell our listeners where they can find more about the things you do?
I have a blog that I'm trying to be better about, joshuacutchin.com, JOSHUACUTCHIN. I just put up a new post yesterday about Sasquatch and poltergeist phenomena. And you can find links to my music there and links to my projects there, and that's sort of the hub for me. And Trojan Feast is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, if anyone is so inclined.
We will publish the link to your site so people can go there and harass you.
Appreciate it.
They harass us. I figured we might as well spread the joy. Seriously speaking, we have a second radio show we'd like you to check out. It's called After the Paracast. And we get into all sorts of things there. And last week, as a matter of fact, it got PG-13. I won't explain why. You have to listen to it. How do you do that? You join the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We charge a modest monthly, annual, 5-year, or even a lifetime, but not a Rip Van Winkle price. Free ebooks for long-term subscriptions, plus.theparacast.com. And Chris is working on our first video, which we hope to see real soon now. Really, a video channel on the Paracast Plus, and we started even carrying show transcripts there. We're looking for some volunteers who want to listen to a show and write it all down and then go for a rest cure after you do it. Chris O'Brien's site is OurStrangePlanet.com. You can find us on Twitter as The Paracast. You can find us on Facebook. There are two Paracast fan clubs. There's a group, there's a club, and it gets very confusing on Facebook. We'll never figure it out, but you can check them out. Okay, Joshua, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
My pleasure.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.